Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Pei Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the very top, where you see the Mishnah. We continue with shiurim, quantities of different items with regard to the prohibition of hoitzah, of transferring an item from one domain to another on Shabbos. The Mishnah. Etzem, bone. Kidei lasos tarvod. If you have enough bone material from which to fashion a tarvod, a spoon, then one will be culpable for carrying out that amount of bone on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kidei lasos mimenu chof. At this point, we think, though the Gemara will change this, that Rabbi Yehuda says that if you have enough bone material to make from it a chof, a lock. Zuchuchis, a piece of glass, kidei ligor bo rosh akarkar, enough to shape or sharpen the tip of a karkar. A karkar is a device used in the weaving process. Tzror or even a rock or stone, kidei lizrok ba'of, if it's enough in size to throw at a bird and cause it to move. Rabbi Lezer bar Yankiv Omer, kidei lizrok b'behema. He has a larger shiur, in other words, he is more lenient, that until there is a size in the stone or rock that is sufficient to throw at an animal, then and only then would one be chayev. The Gemara asks regarding the shiur, the amount suggested by Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. Lememra the shiur the Rabbi Yehuda nafish. Are we suggesting that Rabbi Yehuda is offering or suggesting a larger amount? In other words, if you were to compare the amount of bone material needed for making a tarvat, a spoon, or making a chof, a lock, so you would need more for a lock. Hence, Rabbi Yehuda is giving us a larger shiur. Until which one would then be chayav. But ha'kaimalon, the Gemara says, but we hold the shiur the rabbana nafish. We know that the quantities given in the realm of hotzah are greater when it comes to the rabbanan. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda is more restrictive, saying that one would be chayav even even for a smaller quantity. So the Gemara answers, Omar Ula, you're right, that Rabbi Yehuda is in fact more restrictive. The reference in the Mishnah here to a chof is chofei posachas. These are the teeth that are part of a lock and key arrangement. In other words, the teeth of a key or a lock are made of bone, and that would be enough, even though it's a small amount, that would be enough to mechayev someone on regarding hoitzah of bone material on Shabbos. Tonu Rabbanan, there is a Tanaic source that features the teeth of different kinds of locks. So the source says, chofei posachas tahorin, the teeth that are set into a lock are not mekabel tumah. In other words, if the teeth are disjointed or removed from, you have just the teeth, they are not mekabel tumah. They don't have a status of being a vessel per se. And hence they are not mekabel tumah. They don't absorb tumah. Only vessels are mekabel tumah. Kov on beposachas, if you affixed the teeth into the lock, Tumayin, then they will be Mekabel Tuma. The Shel Gal, when you're dealing with a lock of a door, and the lock is affixed into the door, Af Al Pi Shechibron Badelis, even though you attach the teeth of this lock to the lock, which is attached to the door, V'kovan B'masmerin, and affix them with nails. In other words, you're firmly affixed to the lock. Tahorin, the teeth will not mekabel tuma. Shekal mechubel karka hare hu kakarka. The teeth which are currently attached to the lock, which is attached to a door, and the door is attached to a house, and the house is something that is affixed to the ground. So that which is mechuba lekarka, that which is attached to the ground, is like the ground, and karka is not mekabel tuma. So all said and done, if you're dealing with an independent lock that's not affixed or into anything, so the teeth, once they're affixed into such a lock, they become part of the lock, and the lock is a vessel, and they will mekabel tuma. However, if you're talking about the teeth of a lock that is fixed to a door, then even though the lock in and of itself might be a kli, but it's attached to the door, which is mechuber lekarka, and hence it's not mekabel tuma. Zuchuchis kidei ligror bo. Tona. Zuchuchis kidei liftsoa bo shnei nimin ka'achas. The Tanaic source is giving a shiur for a piece of glass, and it's saying if it's enough glass that's used for separating two strands, apparently two strands on a loom, then it would have significance. The term suchuchis sometimes is spelled with a samach and sometimes with a zayin, and Rashi makes reference to this. Tzror o evan kidei lizrok ba'of rebelozer v'chule, he said enough in rock or stone to throw at a behema. Omar Rebbe Yankiv, Omar Rebbe Yochanan, v'hu she margeshes bo. When we spoke about a stone large enough to throw at a behema, it's not only large enough to throw at the behema, but the behema must feel it when it impacts the animal. V'kamo shi'uro, and what is that size? Tanya, Rebbe Lozer ben Yankiv Omer, mishkol asora zuz, the weight of 10 zuz, which is a known weight, and that's what the stone would have to have in order for it to have significance with regard to the isur, the prohibition of hoitza'a. The next word is a name of a person, zunin, ol lebei medrasha. Zunin entered a base medrash, omar lehu, and he raised the question, rabosai. He says to his comrades, avonim shel beis hakisei shi'urun bekamo. Stones that were used in bodily hygiene, what we use today as a tissue paper for wiping oneself after relieving oneself in the bathroom facility. In the Gemara's time, they used something that the environmental people would be very happy with: stones, something that could easily be recycled. So the stones for the basic kisei, shi'uran bekamo. Rashi mentions or explains across from a shi'uran bekamo, number one, l'hischayev alehen, for the iser of tiltal or of hotzah. Inami l'taltalon b'chotzer, or what size stones would warrant their being moved around in a chotzer, ulachnison l'beis hakisei, and to bring them into the bathroom facility. A stone per se that has no purpose is something that is forbidden to move around. But if the stone has a use or a purpose, then it would be allowed to be moved around on Shabbos. And being that it has significance, it would also generate a chiyuv, a prohibition, with regard to carrying it out on Shabbos. So the Gemara is interested in knowing what are the stones, what's the sizes that one would expect to be used in the context of bodily hygiene. Omru lo, so they answered Zunin, kezayis ke'egos ukebeitza, stones that measure the size of an olive, a nut, and an egg. And all three stones are used in the cleansing of oneself after one's bodily relief. Rashi gets into the procedure how these stones are used. The Gemara continues. Omar lehu, so Zunin asks them. He says, "V'chi turtini yachnis." Is a person expected to bring a turtini, a scale? In other words, you're giving very specific very specific sizes to the stones, it seems unreasonable to expect the person to bring a scale with him to measure the stones in such an exact fashion. Nimnu v'gomru, so they then decided, melo hayad, a handful of stones, whether they be three or it may be four, but altogether a handful of stones. Tanya, Rebbe Yossi Omer, Kezias Kegos Ukebeitza. Rebbe Shimon, Rebbe Yossi Omer, Mishum Oviv, Melo Hayad. Rebbe Yossi says, mentions the three specific sizes, and Rebbe Shimon, Rebbe Yossi mentions in the name of Rebbe Yossi a handful. Tanu Rabbonan, Shlosha Avonim Mikruzolos Mutu Lahachnis Lebeis Akisei. A person is allowed to bring in to the bathroom facility three shaped mekuzolos, are explained sometimes as pointy, which are a shape that's used for that's useful for cleansing oneself. So a person is allowed to bring three of these pointy shaped stones to the bathroom facility. The kama shiurun, and what is their size? Rabbi Meir Omer, ke'egos, each one would be a nut size. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ke'beitza, each one being an egg size. Omer Rafrom Bar Popa, Omer of Chisto, ke'machlokis kan, kach machlokis be'esroig. As you see a machlokis between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda regarding the stones that are featured in this Tanaic source, we'll depart from our usual presentation of Tanaic sources in that generic form, and here we'll refer to it as a brisa as opposed to a mishnah. So we have a brisa here, and regarding the stones in the bathroom context, and it's pointed out that just like you have a machlokis here, so too you have a machlokis with regard to the size of and the minimum size of an esrog. Esrog, which is used, of course, on Sukkis, where Rabbi Meir would say the size of a nut, and Rabbi Yehuda holding the size of an egg. The Gemara asks on this presentation of Raphram, who says just like there's a machlokis here in this brisa, so too there is a machlokis regarding esrog, which happens to be a mishnah in Maseches Sukkah. So the Gemara asks, Hosa masnis and hocha brisa. There, with regard to the esrog, it's actually a mishnah, and a mishnah is much more famous or much better known on the part of the Chachmei HaTalmud. Mishnais were foundation material. Everyone knew mishnais, whereas brises were much less. They were less well known. So the Rashi points out, Dibra Masla v'Hocha Brisa. Or actually, just Rashi just before that, Hosa Masnisin Plukta de Esrog Masnisin Masechas Sukkah V'Hisidura B'Fiat Tamidim. That means that it was well known; it was established in the minds of all the students. V'Ocha Brisa V'Yesh Harbei Tamidim Shalos Shonuha, and there are many that didn't learn the Brisa. Brises were lesser known material in the time of the Gemara. And he's presenting, Raphram here is presenting that which is known and making it dependent on that which was less known, which is kind of odd. So the Gemara continues and corrects this and says, Elo, kemachlokis be'esrog kach machlokis kan. Just like there is a machlokis with regard to the esrog, so too there is a machlokis with regard to the size of the stones regarding a bathroom. And Rashi points out that if you should forget what the machlokis is regarding the stones of the Beis HaKisei, just remember that which you probably will know, namely the machlokes regarding the esrog, and that will help you recall or recount the machlokes regarding the stones of the Beis HaKisei and the Heter on Shabbos. What kind of stones are you allowed to move for hygienic purposes? The Gemara continues, Omer of Yehuda, Avol Lo Es HaPayis. Regarding a bathroom, one shall not use a pious. The Gemara says, "My pious, what is that?" Omar Rebbe Zera, Karshine Bavlaisa. This is a clump of Babylonian dirt. And Rashi explains a little more that Bovel was a damp region, and when you would plow the ground there, so clumps of earth would be cast upwards during the plowing process, and these clumps of earth should not be used in place of a stone, because they will crumble and they're simply not fit for body cleansing, and hence they are forbidden to be moved around on Shabbos. The Gemara continues, Omar Rova Osir Lemashmesh Bitsror Beshabbos Kederach Shememashmesh Bechol. First, we will present Rava's din in the Hava Mina level, and the Gemara will ask on it. So the initial understanding of Rava is that it's usur to manipulate one's anal orifice in order to assist in the relief process, the bodily relief of waste. So it's usur to do that, to manipulate that area on Shabbos. So Maskiflor Marzutra. Marzutra asks, Listakin, what, should the person endanger himself? In other words, if a person is in a situation where he cannot effectively, he's having difficulty relieving himself, and during the weekday, so one is allowed to mimashmesh, which has to do with a manual manipulation of the anal orifice in order to assist in the release of the solid waste. But if one doesn't do that, so he's going to be left constipated, if you will, and endanger himself. So is that what you are saying? Is this what you're expecting of him on Shabbos? That's very unreasonable. So the Gemara answers, you didn't understand Rava's point. Rather, kil achar yad. When Rava says, osir l'mashmitzor b'Shabbos, kederash mashish b'chol, he wasn't saying that you can't mimashmish at all on Shabbos, but rather when Rava says kederach, it means in the fashion that you would do it on the weekday. In other words, if during the weekday you would, let's say, hold a stone and manipulate the stone while holding it in a regular fashion along the anal orifice, so on Shabbos, do it kilacharya, do it in an unusual way, which we call a shinui, and Rashi's suggestion of this is hold the stone between two fingers and manipulate it that way, and that would be all right. The Rashi explains on the line under the Gemara text, Mishani Kilachriyat, Hai Kederech Dekoma Rava, the term Kederech that Rava used was Kederech HaMemashmish B'choil below Shinui, that one should not do this manipulation on Shabbos like you would do it on the weekday without any change. And the reason for avoiding doing it in the regular fashion, and mishum hashoras nimin, the fear of ripping out hairs, body hairs at that point on one's anatomy. Avol kilachar yad kigon oches tzor b'shneis v'osav shabri domi. But if you do it, if you do this manipulation in an unusual way of holding the stone, namely holding it between the two fingers, then we aren't concerned. Let us continue with the Gemara. Omar Rebbe Yanai. Im yesh mokom kavua lebesik hisei, melo hayad. If a person has a fixed location for his beis hakisei, for his bathroom, where he relieves himself of solid waste, so he has a fixed place for that, so he is entitled on Shabbos to bring a handful of stones to that point, and if he has any leftover stones, let's say he relieves himself Friday night, the beginning of Shabbos, so he'll use the balance of the stones the next day. If he doesn't have a fixed place for relieving himself, then we don't allow him to bring in an entire handful of stones, but rather kehechrea. Kehechrea, Rashi explains, is a reference to the size of a nut. Literally, hechrea is a type of balance, or it's a compromise, in this case, something between an olive size and an egg size. But the point being that if it's not a fixed, if he's going to relieve himself in a place that's not kavua, not a fixed or an established place, so we limit the size or the amount of stones that he is allowed to bring there. The Gemara continues, and in the spirit of materials for items for cleansing oneself, meducha ketana shel besamim. A meducha is a crusher, a grinder. This is a small grinder that's used for grinding spices. Let us assume, just for the time being, it's a grinder that's, as Rashi says, it's a kli shem lachto le'isra. Grinding is something forbidden to do on Shabbos. So you have a vessel here, and it's a small vessel, and in this case, the issue is, can he use this small grinding vessel as a means of cleansing himself? It's a small item. Can he use it simply as a replacement for a stone? So that's the meducha ketan shem sa'omar av sheshes im yesh olel aid muter. Aid literally is a witness, but here it means if there's evidence that it was used already for this purpose, for this hygienic purpose, then it is mutter, because it then shows that this vessel has been designated for this allowed purpose. So according to Rav Sheshes, if there is evidence on it, then evidence would be that there's a stain from some previous use of the maducha shel besamim, so he can use it. The Gemara asks Meisvei. We have a Tanaic source here. This Tanaic source lists 10 things to avoid, because if one practices them, they are endangering themselves to something called tachtonios. Tachtonios, Rashi presents a French word. It might have something to do with hemorrhoids, some type of inflammation of that area. And in this list of 10 things, you'll notice that we've dashed, underlined the words toward the end of the source, Hamekaneach, and the number 10 was Bitzor Shekinech B'chavero, one who uses a previously used stone. In other words, he's using something that was already used. So how can Rav Sheshes here tell us, well, if there's evidence of it having been used, of this meducha ketana shel besamim, then you can use it? But isn't that something that's unhelpful? So now we read the source, and we also have a long question marking to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. You can see the kuf that's been encircled with a descending vertical dashed line indicating the length of the question. So the Gemara asks Meisvei. We raise an objection. Asora dvorim mevi'im es odom lidei tachtonios. There are 10 things, 10 practices or phenomena that can bring a person to this ailment or condition of tachtonios. As we said, an inflammation of the anal orifice. The eluhein ha'oichel, and the source lists off the items. Ha'oichel olei konim v'olei gefanim, one who eats leaves of reeds or leaves of vine leaves, lulve gefanim, or vine tendrils, morige behema below melach. Morige behema is different meat from animals that has ridges in it. And Rashi gives different examples of what that would include, but it's, we call it ridged meat without salt. The shedro del shel dag, or the spine of a fish. Vidag malich shelobisha kol sorcho, or salted fish that hasn't been completely cooked or isn't completely ready. Vashoisesh shmore yayin, one who drinks grape or wine lees. Vamekaneach besid uvacharosis ubitzror. Shekinech bo chavero, one who wipes himself after relief in the bathroom using these different materials of sid or charosis. Sid is lime, or charosis be a shard or tsor, a stone that someone else used. V'yeshomrim af hatrila atzmo is a kisei, and another thing that could bring on tachtonis is one who relieves himself in a non-seated fashion. In other words, he's bent over, not sitting, but rather like in a suspended way, that can bring on tachtonios. So We are asking here, how can Rav Sheshes say that if there's evidence of previous use, so then it would be allowed to be used, when that's something that's simply unhelpful? The Gemara answers. In fact, you can see we have three answers. They're numbered 1, 2, and 3 as the Gemara goes on, with the expression Ibois Amos squiggle underline, as we often mark off transition expressions. So, number 1, Lo Kashya Ha Balach Ha B'Yavesh. There is no contradiction between this source and Rav Sheshes. If the mark, the evidence, is still damp, so then that's what the source was referring to here, that is something unhelpful. However, if the stain is dried, then it's okay. V'boisemo kan mitzad echod kan mishnei tzadim. Another resolution is that if the stain is on a particular side, and you use that very side, that same side of the stone that the stain is on, so then it is unhelpful. However, if it's on the other side, a second side, so then it's okay. V'boisemo ha didei ha dechavrei. And a third resolution is that if it's a stain that the same person that he himself caused, in other words, the person had already used that stone, that grinder, the spice grinder, so if it's something that he himself used, means he used it before Shabbos for cleansing himself, so he can continue using it on Shabbos because it's the same person. However, chavrei, if it's someone else who had used it, that's what the source is referring to and says it's unhelpful. Amale Abaye l'Rav Yosef, yordu aleo gishamim v'nish tash tishu mahu. Let us say that we had the spice grinder that we said had evidence of previous use, but rain fell on it, wiping off that evidence, that stain. Does the fact that the stain is wiped off remove the spice grinder as a something available for Shabbos use as a toilet paper, as a cleansing device, or does the fact that the stain has been wiped off wouldn't change its status and still be allowed to use it? That was the question Abaye presented to Rav Yosef. Omar Lei, so Rav Yosef answers, Im hoya rishumon nikar muter. If, though the stain has been washed off, but there is still a mark left. So the fact that a mark is left, even though there's no actual substance, but there is a stain or mark that remains, it's still disgusting for use as a spice grinder, and therefore it's still can be used. This can be still associated with its bathroom use. Of course, if it's been completely wiped clean and there's no evidence of even a stain there, so then it would not be allowed to be used. Bo mine rabo bar rav shilo me rav chisto. We're at the top of Omid Beis. Rabbo asks of Rav Chisda, Mahu laha'aloysom achrov legag. Let's say a person wants to relieve himself on the roof. Is it considered a tircha? Is it considered extraordinary trouble to carry the stones, these wiping stones, up to the roof? And We on Shabbos, we want to avoid things that are, extra strain. Omar Lei, so Rav Chisda says, Godol Kavod Habrios, the concern that we have for the preservation of human dignity is so great, Shedoches Loisa Seshebetor, that it has the capability of overruling even a negative command in the Torah. Now, one shouldn't get too overcome with this particular statement, but when it says lo sas shibator, so Rashi points out that the obligation to listen to rabbinic rulings has its roots in the Torah. where the Torah says "Kechosher Yerucha Lo Sosur Mimenu Yemino Smol." Lo Sosur means don't deviate from what they rule. So, when it comes to rabbinic rulings, it is known that matters that involve human dignity will overrule that particular lo sasev, lo sosur. So we see from here that if a person relieves himself, and if he relieves himself, even though he may have chosen the roof for his place of relief, and there is tircha involved in taking the stones up there, so be it. Because otherwise, the person will be a mess and totally undignified, and therefore we don't. Therefore, we're more concerned with the preservation of his dignity than the fact that there is tircha involved. Yosef Mremar v'ka'omar lo l'ha shmaitza. Mremar was sitting and saying over this teaching. So, this teaching involves the significance of preserving human dignity, even at the expense of rabbinic restrictions when it comes to Hilchus Shabbos. Esfei Ravina l'mremar. So, Mremar raises an objection from the following source. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Notel Odom Kesam Mi Shelofonov Lachzois Boshinov. A person on Shabbos can pick up a splinter to use as a toothpick to remove meat that's caught between his teeth. And we don't say that it's osur as muktzah. Muktzah being something that's rabbinically prohibited to move. Generally speaking, things that have no purpose. But since here we're talking about relieving the person of his discomfort and possible shame, so a person is allowed to pick up a splinter and use it as a toothpick. V'chomim omrim lo yutol elo min ho'evus shel behema. The chachomim are restrictive, and they say you can't just pick up any random tooth or splinter. You can pick up a splinter or a piece of straw from a feeding trough of an animal, an avus of a behema, which is considered something that is muhan. The animal feed is something that is set aside for Shabbos use. But a random splinter found on the ground would not be allowed. And it's from this point that we are raising the question. Rashi explains, and we've dashed underlined it in the Rashi across from here, a few lines up. Rashi says, Almohem midu divrei b'mokum kovod abrios. We see that the Rabbanan are insistent on their ruling, on their muktza ruling, and say you can't pick up a splinter, a random splinter, even though, if it's an issue of kovod habrios, human dignity, shepom shenira mibachus v'gnai hulo. Sometimes a person has, after eating certain kinds of meat, so a clump of meat can get stuck between his teeth, and it protrudes from between his teeth, and it actually looks quite disgusting. A person can be quite embarrassed if he's seen with the shreds of meat protruding from between his teeth. And yet, you see in this source that we don't allow the person to preserve his dignity if it's going to come at the expense of a din of muktzah. So before though, we taught that the stones can be brought up to the roof, even though there's tircha, there's trouble involved, there is strain and trouble involved. Nevertheless, we're preserving his dignity. So the Gemara resolves. Hochi hashta. How can you compare these cases? Hasam odom kovea mokom lisuuda. In the case of a meal, which involved the need for a toothpick, a person knows where he is going to eat, and he should have prepared proper toothpicks from beforehand. And if he doesn't do it, so it's his negligence that is responsible for our stringency. However, in the case of relieving oneself, Adam kovea mokum lebeis hakise, does a person establish a fixed place where he is going to relieve himself? Sometimes a person all of a sudden needs to relieve himself and he doesn't know where it's going to be, and therefore we are more flexible and allow a person to take stones wherever he feels he needs to relieve himself. even if it's on the roof, because a person might have a fixed place or have thought he was going to go to a certain place, as Rashi explains, and found it was occupied, so he had no choice but to go up to the roof to relieve himself. And therefore, we are lenient. The Gemara continues, Omar Rav Huna, Osir Lufanos Bistay Nir B'Shabbos. First we translate the Gemara, and then allow the Gemara to explain why. So Rav Huna says it is forbidden for a person to relieve himself on Shabbos in a plowed field. And we're speaking about a plowed field. This is the plowing. It's called, Rashi calls it the Harisha Rishona. This is the initial plowing before the planting of a field. So if you have a plowed field, a freshly plowed field, the plowing before the planting, it is forbidden for a person to relieve himself there on Shabbos. And the Gemara wants to know my taima, why. And in order to investigate this, you'll notice the Gemara presents several stages. We've indicated this with our double underline, and under on the side of the Gemara, under our no say, our topic heading, we've written Ein litpanot besode shenecho, one should not relieve himself in a freshly plowed field. And under the Mivneh heading, we have the double underline. The Mivneh is the structural note where we feature a double underline, and we've written Shlavim levarer tam leisur hanal, stages in investigating or clarifying the reason for this particular prohibition. So in the Gemara, why then is it that one is forbidden to lefanos bistay nir b'shabbos? Stay near, again, near is a plowed field. So e lema mishum davsha, if it is because of your trampling your friends, this is, we're talking about someone else's plowed field, and that is the plowing loosens the soil. Now when I trample it, so I'm compacting the soil, that ruins it. So if that be the case, afilu b'chol nami, so then it should be forbidden even during the weekday. Yet Rav Huna features his halacha as being something that's Shabbos related. The Ela Mishum Asavim. You might say it's because of the field that's now been freshly plowed, so grasses start growing there. And because of the dampness of the freshly plowed field, grasses will grow on the stone that is there that you will use for cleaning yourself. And when you are cleaning yourself, so the grasses that are growing on the stone might become detached. And you might say that it's forbidden to detach grasses from the stone on which they're growing. Of course, on Shabbos. So the Gemara says that's not the reason for the prohibition. V'amar Reish Lakish, Tzuror Shalu Bo Asofim. Reish Lakish has taught that a stone on which grasses started growing, Mutter L'Kaneach Bo. It is mutter to use it for cleaning oneself, because the detaching of the grasses would be something you had no kavana for. And we paskin like Reb Shimon when it comes to a dover sheinu miskavin, something that you don't have in, you know, something whose outcome you did not intend to happen is allowed. It's allowed to be used on Shabbos. You're using it for cleansing yourself. The detaching of the grass is something you didn't have an intention for. A second point that Reish Lakish makes is v'hatole shmimena b'shabbos chayav chatas, one who in a concentrated, premeditated fashion pulls off the grasses from the stone, that is a Torah level prohibition, because he has removed the grass from its site of growth. That's called tole shdover mimokam gidulo, and that would be forbidden. But we're focusing on the first point of Reish Lakish that says Mutter L'Kaneach Bo. So once again, the question is, Rav Huna that says it's also Lefanos B'Stay Nir B'Shabbos, why is that? Ela Dilma Noket Me'eloi V'Shodeh L'Tatoi U'Mechayev Mishum D'Rabo. What we're afraid of is that you will take stones from a Eloi, means something upper, meaning a mound, and place it into a ditch. And that will create a problem based on Rabbah's teaching. Diyama Rabbah, hoysa lo guma v'tamama. If a person had a hole, a guma is a hole, a depression, a ditch, a pit, and tamama, and he sealed it up, he leveled it up, he filled it up. So, bebayis, if we're talking about a pit or a depression in a person's home, on the floor of one's home, chayav mishum boina. That's called an act of building. Boina is something, is a malacha, is one of the 39 ovas malachas that is applicable to a structure. Besode, if one fills up a hole in a field, in other words, he levels off the field where there was previously a depression and you level off the field, chayav mishum choresh. You're guilty of the malach of choresh. Choresh is readying a field for planting. So before planting, you do choresh on a level field, is something that has become suitable for planting. So the teaching of Rav Huna is not to relieve yourself in a freshly plowed field because of the fear of your leveling it out, taking stones that you're going to use for your hygienic purposes from a mound, and you'll be basically leveling the mound, removing the mound, and filling up, and after using the stones, tossing them into a depression, thereby leveling it out. Gufa. Here, the Gemara quotes that which we mentioned before and focuses in on that which was previously mentioned by the way. On the side of our Gemara, there are topic heading, the Nosei, we've written Kiduach b'Shabbos, Betzor She'olu Bo Asovim, the use of a stone on Shabbos for hygienic purposes, a stone on which grasses started to grow. Omar Shlokish, the Gemara says, Omar Shlokish, Tzor She'olu Bo Asovim, a stone on which grasses started to grow. Number one, Mutar Lekaneach Bo, and number two, Vatodish Meno B'Shabbos Chayav Chatos. These 2 points we explained just before. Omar Rav Popi, Shma Mino Midi Reish Lokish. We can learn from Reish Lokish, who allowed the use of the stone on which grass was growing. So, what in effect did you do? You picked up a stone that had grass growing and you elevated it to your body. So from that action, Rav Popi concludes that Shma Mino Amida Reish Lakish, from Reish Lakish's first point, we can conclude Hai Parfisa. Parfisa is a flower pot with a hole in the bottom. It's called an otzitz nokuv. An otzitz nokuv is a holed flower pot with something, with a plant growing in it. So, high parfisa shori litultuli. It would be allowed to be, you could move it on Shabbos. In other words, you could pick it up from the ground and move it. And we wouldn't say that you're guilty of tolesh. Tolesh is the detaching of something from where it is growing. So just like Reish Lakish in point number one says you can pick up the stone that grasses are growing on, so too it follows, says Rav Papa, you can pick up a whole flower pot with a plant growing in it. Maskif lo Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana objects to Rav Papa's conclusion. Im omru litzorach, if you find a leniency, as is Reish Lakish's teaching, for litzorach means for a need, for hygienic purposes. So there I can understand we are lenient. Yomru shelo litzorach, would you be able to extrapolate from that and say that even in a case where it's not necessary, for example, the movement of a hold flower pot? So Rav Kahana objects to Rav Popi's conclusion and therefore says you shall make a distinction between the two cases. Omar Abaye, Parfisa hov osiliyodon, lema bo milso. Abaye, Mensch says that in light of the fact that we have chanced upon the issue of a Parfisa, a osetz nokov, let us say something about it. So he will make 2 points, and we've indicated them with Aleph and a Beis that follows. Hoyamunach agabi karka. If you have a whole flower pot that's positioned, sitting on the ground, v'hinicho al gabi yisedos, and you elevated it onto, yisedos are pegs or stakes, mechayev mishum tolesh. One would be chayev for the act of tolesh, of detaching something. Rashi is quick to point out that this is not a Torah level prohibition, but it's something that is not right to do. It doesn't look right, and therefore one should avoid doing it. so that if it's on the ground, it is said as if it's deriving its nutrition close to the ground from the ground. Picking it up is a sort of removal of it from that connection, and therefore it's considered as if you are detaching it. And the opposite, hoya munach agabi yisedas v'nicho agabi karka, if you had a flower pot that was on pegs, on stakes, and you lowered it and placed it on the ground, chayav mishum notea, that would be tantamount to planting it. Omar Rav Yochanan, also likaneach becheres b'shabbos. Rav Yochanan says it is also to cleanse oneself using a piece of cheres, a piece of clay. My taima, what is the reason for that prohibition? So on the side of the Gemara, before we continue, just note that we have a nosei, a topic heading, Isser kinuach becheres, the prohibition of cleansing oneself with cheres, and then a mivne, a structural note follows with a triangle featured. These are shlavim, kidei levarer, tam leisra nal. These are stages the Gemara will go through in trying to clarify this particular prohibition. So the Gemara asks, you know, why is that? Why is there an isser in using the clay or the shard for hygienic purposes? E lemo mishum sakona, if it's because of one endangering himself. In other words, if you use this shard, you can end up cutting your body in that particular area of the anatomy, and that's dangerous. So then, afilu b'chol nami. So why does Rabbi Yochanan feature this prohibition as a Shabbos prohibition? That would be prohibited even during the weekday. V'yelo mishum kshafim. You might say that the prohibition is because of causing one to become susceptible to the effects of kshafim, black magic. This will be explained a little bit more later in the Gemara, but for our purposes, we're associating the use of cheres in kinuach, of cleansing oneself, with the subjecting oneself to the to it being endangered through these spells. Well, afilu b'chol nami lo. So there should be an objection even during the weekday for the use of the cheres. V'yelo mishum hashoras nimen. Maybe it's because of the fear of cutting body hairs, and that, you know, cutting hairs from one's body on Shabbos is something that is prohibited. But that too shouldn't be a problem. Dovor she'ein miskaven hu, a person in using the shard to wipe himself, he doesn't have any intention to remove the hairs. And in the event that a hair becomes detached, it's called dovor she'ein miskaven, something unintentional. And Rabbi Yochanan is lenient with regard to dovor she'ein miskaven. So we haven't made any progress. We don't know yet why Rabbi Yochanan rules that it's also lekanech becheres b'shabbos. At this point, the Gemara has two approaches, and we've numbered them with a diamond number one, and a few lines later you'll see Rava with a diamond number two. Omar Luhu Rav Noson Bar Oshaya. Gavra Rava Omar Milsa. A great man said something, namely Rabbi Yochanan said something, Nemo Bo Taima. So we're obligated to offer an explanation. He doesn't just say things randomly. So the explanation follows. Lo mibaya b'chold osur. We don't need to tell you that during the weekday it's forbidden to use the cheres, whether it's because of the sakona or because of the kshafim. It's clear that it's osur. Avo b'shabbos, hoyo v'ika toras kli olov. However, when it comes to Shabbos and you have a choice of using either the cheres or a stone, the cheres has a kli of a utensil status to it, so I might have thought that maybe I should use the cheres, this piece of this shard or this piece of clay, over a stone instead of a stone, since the cheres has toras kli on it. So it's better than the stone. The stone is something that doesn't have a vessel or utensil status to it, and that it becomes a more serious problem when it comes to moving it around on Shabbos. So maybe I should opt to use the cheres that has the kli status to it. Komash molon, this is what Rabbi Yochanan is telling me, that don't favor the cheres even though it has a kli status, because it contains with it the sakona or the kshofim factor, and instead prefer the stone. Rova masni lo mishum hashoras nimen. Rova says the iser of cheres, he says it is because of hashoras nimen. What we had before in our third triangle, he says that is the reason. Well, and now that raises a problem, and we've indicated this with a long question marking to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. The kashya lay to Rabbi Yochanan. And by Rava teaching Rabbi Yochanan here with regard to the cheres prohibition and associating it with hasharas nimen, the removal of hairs, that puts Rava into a difficult position, whereby there is now a contradiction within Rabbi Yochanan's. The kashya lay, there became a difficulty to Rava, the Rabbi Yochanan, one teaching of Rabbi Yochanan versus another teaching of Rabbi Yochanan. Mi omer Rabbi Yochanan also lekanech becheres b'shabbes? Would Rabbi Yochanan say that it's also to use the cheres for cleansing oneself on Shabbos? Well, if he would say that it's also alma dover shein misgavin oser, it would then come out that Rabbi Yochanan holds that a malacha that results unintentionally is something that one is not allowed to engage in. But for Amar Rabbi Yochanan Lacha Kestam Mishnah, but on the other hand, we know that Rabbi Yochanan rules like the unnamed Mishnah that deals with a nazir and his shampooing and washing his hair, utnan, and it says in this source, nazir chofefu mefasfes, avolo sorek. A nazir is someone that is accepted upon himself Nazirite status, and that involves not only wine prohibition, but also a haircut prohibition. So an action that will remove hair is something that a nazir is forbidden to engage in. However, this source says that a nazir can chofefu mefasfes. Mefasfes deals with disentangling hairs, and chofef is something like rubbing one's hair, and maybe in the context of shampooing one's hair. What a nazir is not allowed to do, he's not allowed to comb his hair. In combing his hair, it's inevitable that hairs will become detached. However, chofef and mefasfes, sometimes no hairs are removed. And if a hair gets removed, it's called dover she'ein miskavin. It's not something inevitable, it's something that is called unintentional. And this is a Tanaic source, and Rabbi Yochanan says, follow this source. So what's Rabbi Yochanan in effect saying? He is in effect saying, a dover she'ein miskavin is permissible. So that would create a problem then. We would have, if you follow Rava's approach, you would have a contradiction within Rabbi Yochanan's. Elo machvarto kidu Rav Noson bar Oshaya. Rather, it would appear that we should follow the approach Rav Noson took. He was the first diamond number one. When it came to the shard prohibition, it wasn't a prohibition based on the hair removal on Shabbos. In fact, that wouldn't have been a concern, but rather there's the sakona or the kshafim element that is of concern to Rabbi Yochanan. My kshafim. Regarding the cheres, we said that there is a possibility of a person becoming subjected to kishuf, to black magic, because he wipes himself with cheres, with this piece of clay. So what is meant by that, or what is that a reference to? So in order to answer that, the Gemara presents a story, and we've marked the Gemara with a long answer marking, the tuff that you see encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text and descending vertical dashed line, which continues till the third line from the top of Pei Beis Omen Aleph. So in reference to, or in reaction to the question of Mike Shofim, the Gemara says, Ki ha de Rav Chisda v'Rabo bar Rav Huna, like this story involving Rav Chisda and Rabo, havu ko'azli barba, they were on a boat. They were traveling on a boat. Omro luhuahi matrunisa. Matrunisa is a matron woman, a woman of some distinction. She approaches the rabbis and says, Oisvon bahadaihu, I would like to be seated between you, amongst you. Velo osvo, they didn't acquiesce to her request. So she became a bit upset, it seems. Omra ihi milsa, so she said something, she uttered a spell. Asarta le arba, and she restrained the boat. Omra inhu milsa sharyuha, and they said a spell. They said some, we'll call it an anti-spell, using what Rashi calls shame tara. And when it comes to Kishuf, there are forces of, we'll call it the black forces, the forces of Tuma, and there are also counter forces of Tahara. And that is what they use, the rabbis use these forces of purity to undo her spell. Shar Yuha, and they released the boat, and enabling it to continue traveling. Omra Luhu, the woman then reacted, and she said, "My Aavid Luhu, what can I possibly do to you people? Number one, Delo Mekanech Luhu B'chaspa." Here we're at the top of Pei Beis Amud Aleph. You'll notice how we've dashed, underlined this expression, because this is the reason we brought in the story, so we want to focus on this. Delo Mekanech Luhu B'chaspa. You, when you clean yourselves, you apparently do not use chaspa, clay or shards, and hence my spells cannot have a lasting effect. Two more points she makes that are not relevant to our sugya per se, but they also are reason for protection against spells. Velokoto luchu kino amanaihu. You don't kill lice on your clothing while on your clothing. You would rather cast them off first. Velo shalif luchu yarka, and you don't pull out certain kinds of stalky or leafy vegetables from their vegetable bunch. The ochel luchu mikisha de osir gino, and eat them directly from the bunch that the ginoz, the farmer, the gardener who raises these vegetables, certain types of vegetables like onions or garlic that is bound together in clusters and bunches, and people who rip out the vegetable from the cluster, as opposed to, let's say, untying the cluster. They rip it out from the cluster and eat it that way. That would subject one to the spells. So avoiding that protects one. So these rabbis knew that, and they avoided these three different undesirable behavior patterns, and thereby saved themselves from the spells. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.